such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ. Again, my name is Father Thomas Loya. That's spelled L-O-Y-A. Some of you may be familiar with me. Some of you have heard me on this program, filling in for the great Father Anthony before, but it's been a long time, so it's great to be back here behind Father Anthony's microphone. I did greet you with the greeting, Glory to Jesus Christ. That's because I am a Byzantine Catholic priest. That's a priest of one of the Eastern Rites of the Catholic Church. And that's how we say hello to each other. We say, Glory to Jesus Christ. And you would say back to me, Glory to Him forever. We have several greetings throughout the year in my church. But if you're not familiar with an Eastern church, an Eastern Rite church, basically it's real simple. When Christianity spread throughout the world, it went east and it went west. It took on the character of the cultures it was in. So they developed different expressions or styles of the same faith, the same Christian Catholic faith. And my particular rite, these are called rites of the Catholic Church. In other words, it's all the same belief, just different rites. Not religious orders. Not talking about religious orders. Talking about rites of the Catholic Church. Venerable ancient expressions of the faith. Mine came from an area that originally was the city of Byzantium, later became Constantinople, because Constantine, the Roman emperor, moved the center of his empire to Byzantium and renamed it after himself, Constantinople. And that is today modern-day Istanbul, Turkey. It was once a great Christian center, especially after Constantine became Christian. This is back in the early 4th century. Huge and tremendous Christian center. Now it's just a shadow of its former self in that regard. Turkey is largely a Muslim country. But missionaries from Byzantium or Constantinople, modern-day Turkey, went into the Slavic lands, you know, areas like Bulgaria, Macedonia, Serbia, Ukraine, Slovakia, and so on. They went through that region and they evangelized. They brought Christianity to those people back in the 9th century. And they've therefore followed the Byzantine Rite. And that's where my ancestry comes from the Central Europe, a lot of which was evangelized by the Byzantine missionaries. To name two, the brothers Cyril and Methodius, whom St. John Paul II named as co-patrons of Europe along with St. Benedict. They're great, great, great saints. They basically evangelized half of Europe. But they brought the Byzantine style of Christianity with them. And so my ancestors came from there. And therefore, of course, the churches of my ancestors, once they came here to America, they immigrated here, they set up their own churches, their own Byzantine-style churches, and those are known as the Eastern Catholic churches. There's actually 21 different ways to be Catholic. That's right, 21 different ways to be Catholic. Most of you listening and most of you are familiar with basically one of the ways. That's the Latin Rite. Sometimes they call it Roman Catholic Church. Well, it is, but specifically it's the Latin Rite. And it is the largest of all the rites of the Church, the most commonly known one, especially in the Western world, but it's not the only one. It's one of several rites of the Church, an Eastern Rite or a Western Rite. Basically, the Church developed, as St. John Paul II always said, along the lines of two lungs breathing together, east and west. Now, my parish, if you're interested in visiting, it could go online. It's ByzantineCatholic.com, ByzantineCatholic.com. My parish is in Homer Glen, which is about 30 miles south of where I'm broadcasting from the Winds of Change, 30 miles south of downtown Chicago in Homer Glen. It's just north of I-80. It's called the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. We've got 10 acres of property, most of which is award-winning prairie, restored prairie, indigenous prairie of the Midwest. And you can walk through that prairie, come visit the church. We're open every day, all day. That's right. We never closed our church. Nope, we never did. Not even during the lockdowns. We did not lock our church. Our church has always been open. It always has been from the day we built it 21 years ago till this very day. It is open every day, all day. We lock it up only late at night. We open up the first thing in the morning. You can come and pray anytime, every day, 7 days a week. Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois. I also do a daily live Facebook meditation. It's only about 2 minutes long, 6 days a week. And you can go to our Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish Facebook page if you want to hear some of my little meditations each morning. I also have two radio programs, Light of the East and also Beyond the Veil on RadioMaria.us. But here I am on the Winds of Change and glad to be here. I spoke about the church breathing with both lungs, east and west. And that's a wonderful thing. It's complementarity. It is like man and woman when they get along, like, say, in a happy marriage. They're different. Both are human, but they express that same humanness in a feminine way or a fundamentally masculine way. And that is designed to be complementary, to help fulfill each other's needs, to complete each other. The church is the same way. Why do we have, sometimes people ask me, why do we have different ways of being Catholic? Why can't they only be one way? Well, it's like saying, how come there can only be men? Or how come there can only be women? No, it's about complementarity. It's about unity in diversity. It's about sharing gifts. It's something like this. Think about a diamond. A diamond has many facets, and you need all those facets to make the beautiful diamond. You can't just illuminate a facet or have no facets. It wouldn't be so beautiful. The reflected, sparkly light of the diamond is from the different facets, all of which are important, but they make up the one diamond. So too in the church, complementarity. However, sometimes, as in a marriage between man and woman, things that are supposed to be complementary and mutually supportive aren't working so well. There's differences, and there is divisions. And when those divisions become bad enough, it's generally unnecessary, but they do happen. When they become bad enough, there is oftentimes regrettably an end to the marriage or a divorce. In Catholic terms, sometimes the couple pursues an annulment. But in the church, the same thing happened. There was a divorce. It happened in 1054 AD. The Eastern churches and Western churches got mad at each other and they excommunicated each other. They split from each other. They had a divorce. Relatively happy marriage for 1,000 years. Imagine that. He said, that's how it's supposed to be. Unity in diversity. It's like in a marriage. Man and woman different, but yet one in marriage. But they had some fights and they divorced. We call it excommunication. And they ended up calling themselves in the East the Orthodox churches, in the West the Roman Catholic Church because it was centered in Rome. Fast forward 500 years, and some parts of the Orthodox churches that were in the East after the schism reunited with Rome. Those are what we call the Eastern Catholic churches. That's what I am. That's what I was explaining here. I am part of the Eastern lung of the church, one of the Eastern rites. Those are the parts of the Orthodox churches that came back into union with Rome and Rome with them, like it was before the divorce. They made up again. And that's what I am. That's what my church is. But we have division in the church. We have division in the world. We have division in families. We have division everywhere right now. I want to look at that division, how to negotiate through it, how to understand what's going on, what to do. Many people are very anxious today. Anxiety anger is very high in people today. We are divided in so many ways. There are two kinds of division. One is by default from something good. The other one is from something bad, from the devil. One is understandable. One we just have to live with. It's not what we want. It's not what God wants, but is by virtue of the truth going to happen. And that division is the division between light and darkness, between Jesus Christ and His way of salvation, His light, His way, truth and life and light, and darkness. And you have to choose one or the other. And you have to choose Christ. You have to choose Christ completely. And what happened, as Jesus predicted, He said, I have not come to unite, I have come to divide, to set mother against daughter, father against son. He didn't mean that was His intention. His intention was to unite the world in one faith so we can all be in heaven with God. That's why He made us. He loves us so much. He wants everybody in heaven with Him. He loves what He created. He wants us all together as one. But He knew that this truth, because of original sin, would be by default divisive. In other words, there were those, as He warned the apostles, there were those who respect you as much as they respected me. They would treat you the same way they treated me. In other words, they reject you. They'll choose the darkness. And the truth, by its nature, divides. It's like a light that slashes through the darkness, pierces the darkness. In a sense, it divides the darkness. Think of the cross. Jesus Christ is on the cross. To the right is a thief that repented, that embraced Him. To the left is one that did not. Right there, the cross divided two thieves. It divided the people who stood before that cross. Either you were going to embrace Jesus Christ and His way and the cross and all that it means, or you were going to mock it and walk away. Or you're going to reject it and go kill Christians and persecute them. The truth, by its nature, is divisive, not because the truth has got a flaw, but because of original sin. This life on this earth has a flaw. It has a vulnerability, a choice that we can make for darkness, a choice against the truth. So the truth automatically divides. Can't we all just get along? This is a heresy of our day. I call it the nice guy heresy. You see that in the church way too much. Many of you know what I'm talking about, and you're disgusted. You're disgusted with church leaders. You're disgusted with this whole idea that, gee, truth doesn't really matter. Church teaching don't really matter. You can compromise them, as we've been doing in this whole pandemic thing. You can compromise all this just so we all get along. Everybody feels good and is nice. That is not the truth. We don't aim all of our efforts, our desires, our prayer, our policies, and so on, at just getting along. Sure, it's wonderful to get along. As I mentioned, Christ wanted us to all get along and be one. But He wanted us to get along and be one by choosing the truth, not just getting along for getting along's sake. It's like a dog chasing its tail. So we're all getting along. Well, so what? Isn't that nice? What's being accomplished? What mystery of heaven is being made on earth? That's what we have to look at. We have a mission, and the mission is not just to get along. We get along by default if we pursue the mission of the church. We pursue the kingdom of God on earth. We make on earth what is in heaven, as we say in the Our Father. When we do that, if we're all doing that, the whole world does that, then yeah, we're all going to get along. We're all going to get along fantastic, and we're going to get along even better in heaven forever. The problem is we don't all choose the truth, and so we don't and can't all get along. Now, the other kind of division is that which is of the devil. Think of D words. Devil, D, disappointment, discouragement, despair. That's kind of a sequence that happens. This is the work of the devil. First, we get disappointed. Then we get discouraged. And discouraged becomes bad enough that leads to despair. Right where the devil wants us. And this kind of division, again, is right where the devil wants us, because it does militate against God, against God's plan. And what we have to do is we have to be very vigilant about that kind of division. It's not about just getting along. It's about pursuing the truth or being divided within our own ranks as we try to pursue the truth. Things we have to look out for. For example, during this whole pandemic, one of the areas of division was between the mask wearers or the non-mask wearers. Now, this is accelerated to the next level of, are you vaccinated or not vaccinated? I came across a recent bit of news that, to me, was alarming. Alarming. The Cardinal Archbishop of New York, Timothy Dolan, according to what I have read, is going to institute a policy where when people come to Mass, they're going to sit in division between those who are vaccinated and those who are not. First of all, we don't have to tell anyone if we're vaccinated or not. No, we don't. There's a lot of things we have to learn through this whole thing. And furthermore, as you can see, that's going to treat people like good guys and bad guys. So the bad guys could be judged and ostracized, put over there like lepers. How dare you not get vaccinated and infect me or expose me? Or this is the popular term during this whole pandemic. You don't want to expose grandma, you know. See, the devil uses these clever, cute, sweet terms that, how can you argue with that? How can anybody be so heartless as to not want to, as to infect or expose or make vulnerable grandma? But you see, there's so much more to it, and that's what the devil uses, another D word, deceit. It seems pretty, but it's actually pretty poisonous, deceitful. I'm hoping this Archbishop Cardinal does not go through with this. I hope no other bishops do. In fact, I think I'm going to write to him and beg him, just as a Catholic in this country, not to do that, because that'll catch on, like a lot of other nonsense has. It's going to catch on, and pretty soon we're going to have this great devilish division in our ranks, treating people like lepers, like the outcasts. This is what they did to the Jews during the time of the Nazis. They identified the bad guys, the vermin, the ones that were hurting the culture. You know, they blamed the Jews. And so they marked them, actually gave them a mark, and of course marched them off to death camps. Well, it's the same kind of thinking. And why are we doing this now? The pandemic is simmering down, at least compared to what it was. Why are we doing this now? Why would we do that in the church? It's the work of evil. It's the bad kind of division. We should not judge one another, whether you wear a mask or don't wear a mask. We should not judge whether we got vaccinated or non-vaccinated. You shouldn't even ask anyone that. It's not their business. It really isn't. And by the way, and this is not a pro or con statement about the vaccination, the vaccination is not approved by the FDA. Did you know that? No, it's not approved. It is allowed under the Emergency Use Act, Emergency Use Authority is what it's called, authorization rather, EUA. The FDA did not approve it, but it's EUA approved. In other words, Emergency Use Authorization, which means it is still experimental. It is still being monitored and watched, but it's being allowed to be. In other words, it's what they do in the medical profession. They call it risk versus benefits. There may be some risk to it. Well, we're seeing that. We don't know the entire extent, but the urgency, at least this is what the government's considering, the urgency is so great that we're going to take that risk and put the vaccines out there and encourage people to get them. And again, don't get me wrong. This is not a statement for or against the vaccines. It's just bringing some more pieces of the story to the whole picture. Because if there's anything that has been consistent through this entire pandemic, it has been inconsistency. I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I am sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot to learn at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, where faith, virtue, and valor is the Academy's motto, where that motto expresses the values your child will learn here. Stop by St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy's website at ststanschicago.org. There you can meet the teachers, see the preschool, see the school's top academics, the science lab, and the Catholic faith. You will learn what our families have to say about St. Stan's. While you're on the site, you can schedule a tour to see St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. So rather than hear me talk and talk, go to ststanschicago.org and learn all about it.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back to Winds of Change. I am Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. Again, my name is Father Thomas Loya, last name spelled L-O-Y-A. My church is Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. Glad to be here for Father Anthony. I've been here before in the past over the years here and there, but it's been a while, so it's good to be back. How do we negotiate through all this? We were talking about division, how there's no division is good, but there is some that happens by default because of something good, and that was God's truth. God's truth will automatically divide because of original sin, not because there's something wrong with the truth, because there's something right with the truth. There's something wrong with us, sin. But there's the other kind of division, which is very purposeful, and we have to be very vigilant about it and try to avoid it. That's why I say don't be judging. Get away from any kind of talk of vulnerability. Don't get sucked into this thing about mask versus not mask, vaccine versus not vaccine. This is setting family members against each other, parish members, etc. This has to be clear to you that it's of the devil. So what do we do? A lot of anxiety, a lot of division, a lot of anger, a lot of fear, doomsday things, a lot of confusion. What do we do? How do we negotiate through this? It's what I call make your faith work for you. Here's some of my perspectives for where it may be worth to you. I believe that what's happened in this past year with this pandemic, whether God willed it or not, we don't know. But one thing we always know or should know or keep in mind if we're looking at things through faith is that God is the God of everything, even of bad things. In other words, He triumphs over them. He uses them for good. They're not good in themselves, but only God can turn them into gift, especially if we see that and open our hearts to see that He's doing that. So what is He doing through this? I believe this was a giant spotlight that God shone down on the earth from heaven. If anything, this is a time of revelation. It has revealed so much. It has revealed who the bad guys are and the good guys. So much has happened amidst this pandemic, from the Black Lives Matter to the rioting to the election to anyone who is of the darkness is now pretty much upfront about it. because the light has been shown on them. They can't hide it anymore. They can't be subtle anymore. They're right out there to change, to destroy. They want to destroy modern Western civilization. They want to destroy God's order of creation, actually. And they're basically upfront about it. They want to replace it with their own ideology. Do you remember when Barack Obama ran for president? You probably didn't realize it because a lot of people applauded him and elected him twice. But he said he ran on this proposition, quote, "I am going to fundamentally change America." Everybody cheers. Oh, that sounds good. Did they realize what he was saying? Maybe like the Pope saying, "I'm going to fundamentally change the Bible and the Ten Commandments." That was what Barack Obama was saying, because he is a student of the ideology, of which one of the main mentors was from here in Chicago. His name is Saul Alinsky, the mentor about how to criticize, destroy, cause a revolution in a society and replace it. Oh, yes, yes, that's what Obama believes in. And many others today. So we're dealing with an ideology that wants to be just that, an ideology versus reality. This is what is going on. It's not about persons. I mentioned Barack Obama, but it's not about him. It's not about Hillary. It's not about Trump. Never was. It was about ideology versus reality. And reality, I'm going to translate that into God's order of creation. In other words, God's plan. How things work according to God's plan for the good of all. Versus an ideology. Ideology means, think of the word, how do you spell it? How to spell ideology? It begins with ID. Id means like self or I. That's where we get the word idiot or idiosyncratic, idiocy. It means someone who's in their own world by themselves. Well, ideology means thinking according to the I, to what I think should be, not what reality is. But the problem with ideology is because it is not reality, it is not according to God's plan, it doesn't work, it doesn't fit. So in order to make it fit, to make it reign, rule, you have to use manipulation, deceit, coercion, oppression. That's right. You have to use fear tactics to force the ideology because it doesn't fit naturally the human spirit, because the human spirit is part of God's order of creation. And deep inside, we know what is right, how things are supposed to be. Ideologies don't respect that. They want things to be as the individuals want them to be. They want to basically put God on the sideline, tell him he made a mistake, and we're going to recreate things because we know better. It's like the Tower of Babel repeated. That's right. Original sin, Tower of Babel, all repeated. Our absolute autonomy, that we are in charge and we know better, and we're going to make sure everybody else knows about it. If you don't accept it, don't get in the way because we'll crush you. This is what is happening in our world. You know that. So how do we negotiate? What do we do? Well, first of all, we have to know God's plan and God's truth. But to know what that is, you have to be able to see and call it, see it Catholicly, sacramentally. See how the invisible God and his wisdom, his presence, all that he is made present on earth. From a star in the sky to your pet dog, to your wife and family, to your husband, to everything good on earth, to music and art and nature, faith, prayer, the church. These are ways in which God makes himself present through physics, mathematics, true science, the wonders of the world, the wonders of the universe make God present. And what we're called to do is to see that and to live in it, to bask in it, not to be blind to it, or if we see it, to reject it and think we can create another reality. So this is what we're dealing with. And I believe that God has exposed this. He's exposed where everybody is at. He's exposed everything within us individually. Yes, me too. Things to look at. And within ourselves, what are we really made of? We've been tested. You know, just prior to the outbreak of the pandemic and all the lockdown and the concern, some of it well-placed, a lot of it hysteria, a lot of it political agenda, and so on. There was another very alarming statistic that just came out that is actually connected with what's happened during the pandemic, and I'll talk about that when I return. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot to learn at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, where faith, virtue, and valor is the Academy's motto. Where that motto expresses the values your child will learn here. Stop by St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy's website at ststanschicago.org. There you can meet the teachers, see the preschool, see the school's top academics, the science lab, and the Catholic faith. You will learn what our families have to say about St. Stan's. While you're on the site, you can schedule a tour to see St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. So rather than hear me talk and talk, go to ststanschicago.org and learn all about it.
Back to Winds of Change. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. The statistic that came out, I mentioned this just before the break, that is related, I think, to what happened in the church when the pandemic broke out and we locked down. The statistic was, and this was such a punch in the gut for me as a priest, I was astounded. The statistic was that 70% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. 70%? I couldn't believe it. 70%? Could this be true? It seems to remain consistent. Nothing has really challenged that statistic. And just as that came out, now if you remember when that came out, I sure do, I'll never forget as a priest. As that came out, it was only a short time after that the pandemic broke and churches locked down. I think that perhaps God was saying to us, again, shining this light on us from heaven, exposing everything. I think he was saying, so, you don't believe in the real presence. Well, okay. Well, then you won't have it. And I remember how you felt and still feel, many of you, not all, because a lot of people just didn't care, didn't miss it, but so many of you began to really yearn for the Eucharist, but you couldn't have it. So it heightened your own appreciation of it, your own belief in it. May have made other lukewarm Catholics think about it more. But I think this is what happened. I couldn't help but seeing the uncanny correlation between that statistic and the fact that now we could not have access to the Eucharist. And I believe that what God is doing is he is purifying the world and the church through things like the pandemic. Not just that, but things like the pandemic. Again, I'm not saying God willed it or caused it. Maybe he did. I mean, he's God. He could do what he wants. But I don't think he did. But I do believe, I feel very confident on that because salvation history proves it, I do believe that God is working through it, as always, to bring about some greater good. You see, what happened was for too long a time in our modern Western culture, we got away with a mamsy-pamsy, superficial, suburbanized cafeteria Christianity, and in particular, Catholicism. We entered the nice guy heresy, as I call it, the nice guy heresy, where the church began to think, and I think because it was infiltrated by false ideologies, by the devil, the smoke of Satan, as St. Paul the Sixth said. It was infiltrated by these thinking, by this type of ideologies, and they began to be a kind of a movement or an energy towards making sure everybody's happy, keeping everybody in church, not losing everybody, making them happy. We have to reach out to the youth. What do youth like? Well, they like rock music. Okay, well, let's bring rock music into the church. But see, these things didn't work because they caused the integrity of the church and of the mission of the church, of the truth, and of the Eucharist to be eroded. And so there was no great shakes about the church. Nothing for the youth to really see all that much differently. In fact, hey, Father, you don't have to do the rock music thing. I mean, nice try, but if I want rock music, I'll go to a for real concert with a real rock band. So it was a nice try, but it was misguided. It was just one of the many ways in which we wanted to keep people happy. Yet more padding on the pews, huh? Fanny worship, I call it. Make sure you're just so comfortable. You come in, you sit, and you do not much, watch the show, and sit there nice and comfy as a critic, whether you like the priest or not, whether you're coming back next week or not, if you got something out of it, like you're supposed to have some kind of a zap, some kind of a high, like you're some kind of spectator. And all that was because we wanted to keep everyone happy. Basically, we thought we can get away with Christianity without a cross. And we became very inauthentic. So much so that I believe that our reference point, what is really Catholic? And by that, I'm not talking about some kind of rigidity where it's got to be the Latin Mass and these kind of rubrics, and you do this at this time, you don't do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, yes, proper liturgy, of course. I'm talking about getting even more fundamental than that. Understanding that our faith, it was not about just feeling good, not about getting together, nor was it just about rules and teachings. Our faith is neither about rules and teachings, nor is it about just feeling good, getting together, just feeling good at all costs, no matter under what conditions, no matter what you compromise. The point is we're all together, sitting in a circle looking at each other, feeling good. Aren't we happy? Our faith is about seeing the invisible God made visible through his order of creation and living according to that vision. And being able to live a life of self-sacrifice, self-donation, of making an oblation of ourselves and taking the hits, experiencing suffering in a redemptive way. We lost our reference point for what is truly Christian and specifically Catholic in the modern Western world. And you know what else? Think about it. We here in America, we never really had to pay a price for our faith. No, we didn't. Yes, we went to war to preserve our freedom, freedom of liberty per se, freedom, all kinds of freedoms, but they were never under direct attack. Most of the time, we went to help others, like in the world wars, or we went to Europe to help defend them. There was not a direct attack like there was in Europe. Nazism, fascism, communism, all the things which oppress the church actively, literally destroy churches, sent priests and bishops off to gulags and torture chambers and were executed. We didn't have that here. We never had to shed blood for our faith. We never had to pay a price for our faith. Now, we were really blessed in that way, but while we were going along without that price and still free to practice our faith, so much of the rest of the world was undergoing blood martyrdom, persecution and slaughter, and still are in many ways. Do you know that the brand of Christianity we were practicing was odd? Yes, odd. A Christianity where there is no persecution is actually kind of odd. I mean, there are times in church history where there was relative peace. But basically, Christianity has at the center of it the cross. There was some kind of sacrifice. This is what created monasticism. Whenever things got less bloody, There were Christians who were so in love with Christ, that wanted to witness to him so dramatically, they actually regretted the opportunity that they no longer had to shed their blood for Christ. So they found another way to do it. It's called white martyrdom. In other words, monasticism, which then gave rise to religious orders. We take vows of self-denial, chastity, poverty, obedience. Gee, who wants that? I don't want to be obedient to anybody. I want to be my own person. Chastity? Celibacy? Are you kidding? Poverty? What's no fun? I want things. I want the next iPhone that's coming out. I need money for that. Imagine that was a kind of death, a kind of martyrdom, but it was for Christ. So Christianity, to be authentic, comes with a package deal. It's the cross. Now, the cross is a victory. Now, I'm talking about we have to be miserable, and we can suffer in different ways. But we must have the cross, and we thought we could have a Christianity without it. And we tried so hard in the church to make sure that you, especially youth, were happy all the time. And you got bored and saw the church as basically useless, irrelevant. And then, during the pandemic, all that came to its highest point when the church, the mystical body of Christ on earth, the only conduit to real intimacy with God, the only window to God's wisdom and blueprint, the only place of grace in this abundance, we allowed that to be labeled as non-essential. Why would we do such a thing? Because we weren't authentic Christians and Catholics. It was fake. And I think God has had enough. And for our own good, he is allowing things to go dark. So that in that darkness, we may discover that that's not what we really want. We want him, and we'll choose the light. That's what I think is happening here. But we have to, unfortunately, be plunged in the darkness. There's probably a lot more to come. I mean, I hope not, but I think there is. We haven't learned yet. Think about how many people, maybe yourself, have said, gee, let's get that vaccine so we can just get back to normal. Just like pop that magical pill. Take that magical jab in my arm, and then I'll get back to how we were. No. God is trying to tell us the way things were not good. They were phony, inauthentic, and I've had enough. It's not going to work. And you're not going to be prepared. You're not going to be prepared for what is coming your way. I need you strong. I need you strong in your faith. And so I have to break you. I have to deny you. And the pandemic, a lot of other things going on, is certainly ways that that is happening. Again, I'm not saying God willed it. Maybe he did. But I am saying for certainty, he is certainly sending us a message and working through it. He's purifying us because now, with everything exposed, there is no in-between. There's not going to be an in-between church. There's not going to be a suburbanized kind of spirituality anymore. Those things are not going to survive. They're going to become choices. Either you're all in this way of Christianity. See, Christianity is a way of seeing, a way of living. The early Christians, they never referred to themselves as Christians or Catholics or whatever. They just said, we're people of the way, just the way we live, the way we love, the way we sacrifice, the way we see. That's our faith. And that, I believe, is what God is calling us back to through this pandemic and all the other woes and darkness that is going on in this world. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loya.
Because I am a priest, people will sometimes rather glibly say to me, I don't go to church anymore.
I don't agree with the teachings of the church. Or they say, there's too many rules. I look at them puzzled and say, gee, I must have slept through that class in the seminary because I do not know of any teachings or rules in the church. I do know, however, of a way of seeing the invisible, incomprehensible, ineffable, immeasurable God become visible, real, tangible, through the physical order of creation that God Himself set in place. Our faith is not about teachings or rules. It is about seeing correctly and living honestly according to that vision. This is an incarnational, eucharistic, mystical view of life that sees how every created thing, whether by man or by God, speaks a language that tells us about that particular thing. This comes to its highest point in the human person. Our very bodies, precise in their male and female forms, reveal God, and they reveal the person. Learning to decode the language and theology of our bodies clues us into the why behind our being man and woman, and how to honestly and lovingly be man and woman to each other.
We are the students of St. Stan LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222. And we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back to Winds of Change. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ. Last few minutes here, we're trying to negotiate through spiritually, discerning what is going on. Where is God in all this? What is happening? I believe, and so my message to you is, if anything else, it's a message of encouragement, of hope. But however, we may have to endure something from darkness and some suffering on the way, but it's for something greater. It's purifying. It's something like this. Remember the Bible when Jesus Christ went up on Mount Tabor? He went up on Mount Tabor, and he transfigured radiantly. And he took only three apostles with him, Peter, James, and John. And he transfigured in his, what he did by when he transfigured was he showed the glory of what it is to be human, his human nature and his divinity. And Peter, James, and John were so impressed by this, they were knocked off their feet. And they wanted to stay. They had a vision of what it is to be gloriously and fully human, the destiny God had in mind for us from the beginning. And what has in store for us if we make it to heaven. Yes, the human person was designed to be glorious. But he also showed them his divinity. He shone so brightly they couldn't take it, but they loved it. And they said, let's stay here, Lord. Let's build some booths here and stay. And he said, no, we have to go down, and the Son of Man is going to suffer and die, but rise in 3 days. Now, they didn't know what he meant. What he did, though, was he gave them a glimpse of what it's all about, of what all that is good. So they would remember that. Hopefully that glimpse would carry them through what would be the darkness when they would think all was lost and they would scatter and hide as they see Jesus hauled off and put on a cross and die and be put in a tomb. But they would come into the glory at his resurrection and they would remember them. That what he showed them before the crucifixion, up on that Mount Tabor, is what they're seeing now. He kept his promise. The hint he dropped up there, he realized for them in his resurrection, then his ascension, and then he sends the Holy Spirit, which of course we celebrate this week of Pentecost. I think the same thing is happening in our world today. I think God has given us a glimpse. I think even with the past administration during the time of President Trump, now just calm down. This is not a for against Trump. Like I said before, It was never about Trump or Hillary or Biden. It was never about the persons. It's about reality or ideology. We had a moment there with Trump where we saw America regaining some of what we consider to be its greatness. Not all the way, but begin to. We had a glimpse, a taste of it, actually. And I'm not talking about everything was perfect. And I'm not talking about Trump himself. I'm talking about reality. What were the statistical, factual realities? What did he pursue? And he remained consistent. And what do we have now? You know that during Trump's administration, he was saving, at the risk of his own life, hundreds upon hundreds of children who were taken into sex trafficking, you know, the ones coming over the border. One of the reasons he wanted to keep the borders more correct, more contained, it was not going to shut everybody out. He was going to make them controlled, as nations should be. And all these children were coming over there and being taken into sex trafficking, and he was rescuing them. Did you know that? Now, they had this human carnage down there at the border because it's open borders. Oh, wasn't that sweet? Again, work of the devil. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Who could argue with that? Oh, come on, welcome everybody. We love everybody. Come, we're not going to keep you out. So there they are, bodies on top of people on top of each other, children mostly sick and being taken to sex trafficking by the hundreds. I thought we cared about young people. I thought we were sensitive and caring. This is reality versus ideology. And we had a glimpse of how things could be better because America was going downhill. Now it still is. We had a little glimpse there of maybe how it could be better, like the apostles on Mount Tabor. But now we've come down from Mount Tabor. God allowed us that little glimpse with the Trump era. Again, a little glimpse. I'm not championing Trump, okay? Stop it. Just listen to the facts that I'm talking about, reality versus ideology. We had some glimpse of reality, of what was good about life in America. And now we have a regime that basically hates what America's about, wants to fundamentally, quote-unquote, change America. So we're going through the darkness now, and it is getting very dark. Do you know that three times within the first few weeks of President Biden's presidency, three times the American bishops had to do a little, President Joe, what are you doing here with these life issues? We're kind of disturbed at that. And the last one, the third one, was about the Equality Act, which the bishops really got a little bit stronger on because it means the persecution of the church. But we voted for this, didn't we? This is apparently what we voted for. If the election wasn't stolen, if it was legitimate, that means the majority ruled. It means the majority of Americans wanted this darkness. They wanted church persecution, Equality Act. They wanted sex trafficking. What do you mean you didn't want that? What did you vote for? You didn't vote for anything. You voted against a person you did not know, but you were told to hate. As if you were being asked to vote whether you wanted this person to be your roommate or your husband or your friend at dinner. It's not what this was about. It's not what it's ever about. It's about the cosmic battle between good and evil, between reality versus ideology, regardless of the persons. It's ideology versus reality. So we got the darkness now. We have to look to see what God is going to do to bring light into the darkness. And I believe that each and every one of us, now the light has been shown on us, and we're also plunged in darkness again, has to take a good long look at ourselves and see how much deeper we can commit to Christ, to be willing to embrace the cross, to shed our blood if need be, to be white martyrs. We have to be willing to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we all in this Christian thing, this Christ thing? I mean, really? Are we going to be authentic Christians? Are we going to be willing to give of ourselves, sacrifice ourselves for the truth? And I think that what God is doing is He's winnowing out. He's separating the wheat from the chaff. And I believe that as Pope Benedict XVI said, the church will become smaller but holier. And I can see that happening already. In fact, it's actually getting bigger in certain areas where people sense authenticity, courage, a bold and real faith. We just came through, and we are in the time of the Pentecost. Pentecost, what happened there happened to you and me, those of us who were baptized and confirmed in the church through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. We received that same Holy Spirit that the apostles received in that upper room. And with that Holy Spirit comes seven gifts, which can result in 12 benefits, 12 fruits of those gifts. But the seven gifts all have to do in their own way with our strengthening, our wisdom, our confidence to live, to witness to preach, to model the life of Jesus Christ, the truth. We have been given that strength, wisdom, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive, the same ones the apostles received. What did they do after that? They boldly embraced the faith and went out to every corner of the world, regardless of whatever hits they had to take, and most of them died doing so. But they were happy, and because of those 12 men, Christ is known throughout the entire world. And you and I have this faith as well. We are being asked to look at those gifts of the Holy Spirit again and to activate them, to enlarge them, enliven them by our recommitment to Christ, to the church, to prayer, to the sacraments. You see, what happened was during this pandemic, the church had a mission it had to protect, and it needs to ask itself, am I protecting that now? Thanks for listening. I'm Father Thomas Loya. For Anthony, Father Anthony and Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now, the winds have changed. Read the signs, no time to hide, the winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?